So hello everybody, welcome to the April session and looking forward to connecting with you. Let me begin, this is a must, let me begin by congratulating Margie in her birthday. She's only wiser, not necessarily getting, you know, older, just wiser.
I'm 50 Margie, again. 50 again.
That is correct. That is you don't move from there. So no. Congratulations. Hope
Thank you
had a fantastic day.
I did. Thank you.
Excellent.
Happy birthday, Margie.
Celebrations later. I owe you one. Good wine. Maybe sangria. Can on that. So welcome, everybody. This is the April session, and we'll begin, if that's okay with everybody. So Marisa, are you with us? Let me confirm that to make sure that we have quorum on all of the above.
Yeah, could you hold on one second while sure. I do the attendance? For some reason, it's not showing everybody. So I need to actually go and add everybody individually. So just it'll take me 2 minutes. Just
take
and
your
I'll
time.
Let you know.
We'll continue the celebrations with Margie then. Where did you go, Margie?
Well, I haven't celebrated. My husband took me out to Chesapeake Inn on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
But I'm going out tomorrow. And Greg and Debbie sent me this beautiful bouquet of flowers.
Can we see the flowers? Just show off a little bit.
I'll send you a picture.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, but it was very nice. Greg sent out a message to the whole team. So I've been getting bombarded with great wishes. And Mario actually left me a voice message. He's saying happy birthday to me.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's one of our resident artists. But it's been a great day.
There you go. I hope you have a fantastic day and extend the celebrations over the weekend. Why not?
I will, over both weekends. Yes, I stretched it out.
Nice, nice. All right. Before I forget, guys, I'm going to have to leave at 6:30, but Anas is going to take care of the rest of the session. I just wanted you to know I'm going to quietly leave for another meeting. My apologies in advance, but you're going to be in better hands because Anas is going to finish the session, and
our objective is to speed up the agenda, so we're done right on at 6:30.
We can always do that, Anas. Yes, but if not,
no, I'm just joking. I'm here.
There you go.
You have okay, a nice I'm ready whenever you are. Thanks for
thank you, Marisa.
Thanks everybody for your patience.
No. Thanks to you for helping. So we appreciate that. So we have quorum, and with that, we're going to start the meeting, if that's okay with everybody. And let me call the meeting to order for that. Do we need a vote for that, Marisa? Refresh my memory. I'm never good on that.
No, we don't need a vote for that one.
Okay. So we're going to begin that and then move into the executive session. But for that, we do need a vote, correct?
Yep, we need a vote for that one.
Can I have a vote to move for the executive session?
Motion to move for executive session. Karen over Thessal. Who was that? Sorry.
Anas, second.
Thank you.
Excellent. So we're moving to the executive session.
Well, now we have to vote.
Oh, we need to vote. Thank you.
Yeah.
Those, let me put it that way. Nays, raise your hand. Motion carries. We move on. Thank you. Thank you. We're back to the public session. And now we need to vote on the meeting minutes and the agenda. Well, the minutes, actually. Can we have a vote to approve the minutes from last meeting? Could you please share? There you go. Thank you, Greg. Let's take a few minutes to take a look to these so we get the approval. Any questions, comments, corrections that need to be considered to approve the agenda? I mean, the meeting minutes.
If we I'll are make okay. a motion to approve.
Thank you, Pedro.
As presented.
Thank you, Pedro. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Show hands of nays. Excellent. The motion carries. The minutes are approved. And the next item of the agenda is a discussion of the fiscal year 24 calendar discussion and approval. So, Margie, do you want to, would you like to present that?
Oh, we're not going to do the spotlight first?
Oh, the spotlight.
Greg, you're on mute.
We needed to vote. So we have, and Kathleen knows, so we're going to do the...
we're going to do the calendar first. Okay, awesome.
You should. Great.
Okay. So number one, I apologize. I sent the calendar out to you earlier today. I had hoped to send it out to you early with more advanced notice, but this year was definitely a tricky year. As we talked about in executive session, we wanted to be able to incorporate some days on our calendar where individuals, if they chose to, could take personal days and that there would be minimal impact to student learning. So that was one of the sort of objectives in doing the calendar, which was a little different. But what I sent you earlier is where we landed. And just since most of you, this is the first time you go through this process, so the calendar version that I sent you is more detailed than you absolutely would ever want, right? But I wanted to share that version with you because that is the internal version. That is the version that we create as a team. And we really try to include everything and anything that we need to know regarding the marking periods. When do the marking periods end? When are grades due? When are report cards going out? There's also other assessments that need to be completed. Noting when students have, whether we have meetings, whether there's training going on, whether there's awards going on. So we really try to include everything and anything in this version of the calendar. Once the board approves the calendar, we then create the more simplified version, which we call the handout version, which is the version that students and families get. And it's posted on our website. And just to give you an idea of what it looks like in case those of you that don't know, this is the version, for example, that families will get. So it's more simplified, as you can see. It doesn't have all of the detail that you see in the version that I sent you. But this making this version is a bit cumbersome, especially when you have to change something because it's basically a table. So I'd like to not tackle that until I get the approved calendar. So so on the calendar that I shared with you, I'm not going to go month to month, but I just want to give you an overview of a couple of things, just things that you should just be aware of, is what we do beginning in January, February, really January of each month is we actually have calendar meetings and the team is invited to come and attend a calendar meeting. I schedule about 10 of them so that everybody on the team gets an opportunity to join a meeting, talk about the calendar, give some input, ask questions. So it is a collaborative process. And the good thing is that we've done that so many years that there's not a lot that changes with the calendar at this point. But one of the things that we have done consistently is in August, we have our new team members start the first 2 days, just them, not the returning team members, because we want the new team members to have, our full attention. They go through what's known as Aspida 101 as their orientation. We get them set up with their logins and their laptops and all of that, so that when the whole team reports to work on the 16th, they're all ready to go. And we're excited about on the 16th, we'll have a keynote speaker And we really sort of a pep rally, getting people excited about the start of the year. And a lot what happens, you know, these first couple of days is really preparing classrooms, you know, team meetings, planning. And then we have the welcome back to school events happening the following week. The welcome back to school events, that's one that I put on here for now, staggered schedules, because as I mentioned before, we definitely have an issue with parking right now at the East Campus. So we're trying to be very mindful of the number of parking spots we have, how many students we have in each grade, and then coming up with a schedule that's staggered start times so that we have families that can come and they have a positive experience. They're able to get in and out and not a lot of headaches regarding parking and all of that. That takes, you know, that's like a logistical project right there. So we are thinking about possibly doing some of these start times earlier in the day, as opposed to trying to do everything in the evening. So those specific times are still being worked out, but I wanted to at least show you that those things happen a week before the start of school. And this is the first year now that we have seniors, we have a high school. This is the first year where we actually have different start dates. So the first day of school for all of kindergarten through ninth grade, as well as seniors, will be on the 28th. And then the 10th and 11th graders will join us on the 29th. We felt this was really important to start this tradition to give ninth graders an opportunity to sort of have the building to themselves, along with the seniors, and the seniors obviously serving as mentors and being leaders and welcoming the freshmen. But this is the first time we try this. And so we'll see how that goes. Aside from that, what we try to do every month is at least have one day where there's no school and we have team professional development. So you see here TPD on the 22nd of September, that's what that means. So we isolate those days. We either schedule a facilitator to come in for specific training, or we have training done from one of our team members. But that is reserved and dedicated to professional development. So we try to have one of those every month. So you can see here in October, the state for the past couple of years has designated the Friday before Columbus Day as a statewide PD day. So we like to hold that date on our calendar so that team members can take advantage of some of the statewide PD that's being offered. And then November gets tricky because of the Thanksgiving break, and also because we have to have days to do conferences. So because of that, there's no room for PD in November. For the most part, the days that we have off are purely dedicated to conferences. Now, because we have two campuses, that's the other thing that makes the calendar a little bit more complicated, is that we have to indicate what's going on in the East Campus versus what's going on in the West Campus. So you can see on these three particular days that the East Campus is out of session for conferences, but the West Campus, because their marking periods are different, they will be in session. We'll make Friday an asynchronous day, but they will not, the students will be in session all 3 days, as well as the team. And then we go to December. December, we have no PD because we have the winter break that occurs. And then that rolls into January. And then January, we come back into session on the 3rd. We then have January 12th as a PD day. We tried as much as possible. It works out well that we piggyback off of the state holidays. So since Monday the 15th, we have off for Martin Luther King's birthday, having Friday off as PD day works nicely. It also, we usually have our team party the night before. So that the team can enjoy themselves. So that's like our holiday party that we have. We usually have it in January now. And then in February, we have a couple of PD days. Actually, we now just have the one. But this right here is actually a collaboration with the Charter School Network. So all of the charter schools agreed to hold the 16th of February on their calendar so that we could actually do a joint PD day. We've done this for a couple of years now, and it's been great because we're able to just have that connection with one another. We're able to come up with topics that are more relevant maybe to charter schools than they would be to a school district, but it's just more personalized. And Dee from our team is actually going to be spearheading the planning committee. And so we're going to be sort of combining our equity conference with this charter collaborative PD. So we're excited about that. One thing that we discovered in when we finished with the days. So one of the things to keep in mind with the calendar is you'll see on each of the pages, this right here at the bottom, these number of days. So this is what's most important to the Department of Education is that there's a requirement that students must receive X number of hours of instructional time. It happens to be 1,060 hours, with the exception of seniors. 12th graders, it's less. But for all other grades, they're to receive 1,060 hours of instructional time. And then teachers, the team, is to be scheduled for 188 days. So each month, as you can see, we keep a tally of how many student days, how many team days, so that we're meeting that requirement. So I'll talk to you more about that in a second, but that's February. March, we have, this was a little different. Once again, having feedback from the team, one thing that we discovered is that for the East Campus, which is where the majority of our students are, our marking periods are by trimester. The end of the first trimester falls around Thanksgiving. So that's why you see those extra days off for conferences around Thanksgiving. That works out very nicely. The end of the second trimester, though, falls in March. In the past, we haven't had days off for conferences after the second trimester. But what we've discovered is that it's become more necessary for us to carve that out. And the teachers have asked for that to be considered in the calendar, where they can have a day where they can complete their grading, complete their portfolios, prepare for conferences, and then have a day for conferences. So we're doing this for the first time. We're going to have the 4th as a grading day for both campuses. It's PD for the West Campus, for grading day for the East Campus. But then on Friday the 8th, no school for the East Campus. And that's when they're going to do their conferences. So they're very happy about that because it does relieve some stress off of them by being able to do this. And then spring break comes early next year. So it actually starts, Good Friday falls on Friday, March the 29th, rolls into April, the first week of April. So we'll be closed for spring break, back in session on April 8th. Because of spring break, there's no other PD day in April, and we rolled into May. In May, we have the Friday before Memorial Day weekend reserved as a PD day. And the other thing to note is now that we have seniors, our first graduating class, the last day for seniors is actually May 22nd. And then the rest of the high school, their last day of school is on the 31st, which is nice because we're able to then use the West Campus as the venue for the field days for our K-8 kids. So on that Friday, field day for K-2, for example, since it's the last day for our 9th through 11th graders. And then now for the month of June, since the West Campus is now all out of session, the building will be completely open, and then we'll host the other 2 field days. So, and then as you can see here, if you can see this count that I was referring to, Here, we're at 168 days for our K to 8 students and 188 days for the team. What we did though is students end on the 4th of June. The 5th, 6th, and 7th are reserved for professional development. There's usually, you know, certain trainings and topics that we need to cover before everybody goes on summer break. And then the 10th and the 11th are considered optional work days where team members will have the opportunity or the option to take a personal day or a vacation day if they choose to. And that is the schedule. The other thing I just want to share with you, which is, like I said, what's most important to the Department of Education is this document, which is basically the hours. So you can see here for the East Campus, kindergarten through eighth graders, really kindergarten through 11th graders, they're required to be in session for 1,060 hours. And so what Greg and I do is we create this document so that month to month, we can see what days are they in session. The ones in red are when the students are not in session. So you can see the hours are zeroed out. So here we can see number of days, number of hours, and then it calculates for us. If our requirement is 1,060 hours, we actually have it coming out at 1,072 hours, 0.5, which gives us just shy of 2 extra days built in for inclement weather, which is about 12.5 hours, which what we found is ever since we've been introduced to this idea of virtual learning, the possibility of asynchronous learning, and also with just the experience of this past winter, you know, back when we opened in 2011, we were building 5-6 days into our calendar for inclement weather. The most we've ever used, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, is probably 4. And that was before COVID. And this past year, we used none. So what we're being sensitive to is that what people will ask, students, families, and team members will ask, hey, if we built in 5 snow days and we didn't get any snow days, can we end school early? That's very complicated to do. Like, that's throwing quite a curveball to our families because then they have to make arrangements for childcare, et cetera. So we don't like to do that. So what we've tried to do is just try to reduce the number of days that we have built in for inclement weather, because we now know that we have the option to go to asynchronous or even synchronous learning if necessary, so that we don't have to use a day. So that's where we end up for kindergarten through eighth grade. Same thing for ninth. For ninth grade, they actually have an extra day. And then for 12th graders, their requirement is not 1,061 hours, it's actually 1,032 hours. So we also fulfill that and we give ourselves about 2 days to wiggle room there as well. So this is really the document that's most important to the Department of Education, because that's what shows that we're in compliance with the instructional hours requirement. So any questions about the calendar?
That was a very complete explanation.
More than you ever want to know, but I promise I'm not going to go into that kind of detail again.
No. Very much needed that. To me, looks complete, Margie. I do not have any questions, but I wonder if the board has any questions. Well, not being the case, it seems that we need to vote to approve these for you guys. So let's entertain a motion to approve the 2024 calendar year. So can we have a motion for that?
Motion to approve the calendar as presented, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Do we have a second?
Second, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. You've been super fantastic today. I appreciate that.
I'll take it. No problem.
Let me see if there's nays. Seeing none, the motion carries and the 2024 calendar is approved. Thank you, Margie.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm going to have to go. So Anas, could you please take it from there? Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon.
Yes, and I will be, I have to go also. So you guys all have a good week.
Thank you.
All right. I changed a little bit the environment from the office to the car, but we'll keep on going. And I might need someone to second since we lost Jeff. So the next is the next one since we did the calendar. So would that be the spotlight, Margie?
Yes, yes.
All right. So let's go for it.
Margie, do you want to introduce the wonderful Kathleen?
Yes, I will. So it is my honor to introduce Kathleen Chapel Correa. Kathleen actually served on the board of directors, and it was before any of you were on the board. So we thought it was good timing for her to be reintroduced. Kathleen came to us. I have to give credit because my husband just happens to be over here off camera, but I'll give credit to my husband that he referred Kathleen to us. He had the opportunity to work with Kathleen in the Brandywine School District and thought really highly of her. And, you know, with us just opening up our school and building our reputation, you know, it was helpful to get those type of referrals. But Kathleen came to us as a middle school math teacher and has just continued to grow from there. From day one, we saw that she had such a great rapport with the students, a great command for her content. And I will share this one story about, you know, we had one year where middle school students were definitely sort of off the chain as far as like behavior. And I met with them, you know, by group to talk to them about like why their behavior was the way it was. But I asked them like, who's your favorite teacher? And the students, a lot of the students said, Miss Chapel. I said, why is Miss Chapel your favorite? And they said, because she don't play. I said, what do you mean she don't play? Well, she just gives you this look and you just sort of understand that it's time to get serious. And I said, are you saying that she's mean? And they said, oh, no, she's not mean. She doesn't raise her voice. She doesn't lose her temper. She just gives you that look. So just the fact that middle school can be a tough group of kids, that age group. So Ms. Chapel, though, definitely demonstrated that she had a way to earn their respect and give them respect. And that has translated into her great skills as the assistant head of school. But I don't want to steal any more of her thunder. If she doesn't touch on things, I'll give my extra 2 cents at the end. So Kathleen, take it from there.
Thank you, Margie. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to share my screen for a second. I got it. Come on. I'm out of the loop of Zoom, but I got it. All right, here we go. All right, so this was actually a fun exercise. I kind of feel like I went on a trip down memory lane, thinking about talking about myself. So here goes. So these are the early years. So I am a native Delawarean. I was born and raised in Smyrna, Delaware. So I'm the youngest of four children, and I am the daughter of, my mother was a teacher in the Smyrna School District for 36 years before she retired. And my father had two careers. So he worked for DuPont for a number of years, retired, and then he became a bus driver driving for the Smyrna School District. So those are my origins. So with my mother having four children, there was no such thing as idle hands. So she always had us involved in something. We would be in the library in the summertime, sports clubs, you name it, we did it. I was a Girl Scout. I did everything. So these are just a couple pictures we were talking about today in our East Campus admin meeting. I have lots of pictures of field hockey because that was like very instrumental in my life. I followed behind my sister. She played first. And when I got to middle school, I took up the sport. I played with pretty much the same girls from the time that I was in seventh grade to the time we graduated from high school. And I think that's how you build leadership, you build how to work with others, you have lots of fun, you get into clean trouble, and it was a really great part of my life. My fun fact is that I remember being in high school and trying to figure out what I wanted to go to college to be. My mother actively said, don't be a teacher. Don't do it. But now that I chose education as my path, she is my biggest supporter and she's very, very proud of me. Look out world, here I come. So with that kind of advice, I did go to the University of Delaware for my undergraduate degree. And I got a degree in finance and marketing. After getting my first degree, I decided I wanted to go to New York City and I wanted to have a big, important job. So I had an entry-level job working for Neuberger Berman, which was a finance company. If you don't remember, they're the infamous Lehman Brothers. I was under that umbrella. So when the Great Recession hit, because I graduated in 2007, I kind of reevaluated like what was important. And it took me a long time to decide, but I decided that I no longer wanted to work in finance and that education was the correct path for me. So Aspira, the stars aligned. I can remember I left New York City. I moved back home to Delaware and I started taking graduate courses at WilmU. And Margie was actually a guest speaker in one of my classes. And that's the first time that I heard about Aspira. So then fast forward into my second year, I had to do my student teaching experience. And yep, shout out to Wally Waite. He was the AP at Brandywine when I was doing my student teaching experience. I also had a great coordinating teacher at that time, Unique Lawrence, who was a great guide for me at that point. And then, like Margie said, like the rest is history. And I ended up at Aspira. So just some of my accomplishments. I use the word opportunity because I really do feel like it's an opportunity. When I was going back and like looking through pictures, when we first started, Aspira was small, like the little school that could. And I actually had the opportunity to cycle up with some of my students for 3 years. And it became more than just their kids in my class. They became like part of my family, my kids. And even now, just this week, I have a parent, I taught her oldest, and now her baby is in the second grade, and I've had an opportunity to work with each of her children, and she was in the office, and she was like, oh, she needs to talk to you, so I was thinking something bad happened, but her second oldest, who's about to graduate from high school next year, was off, and she was like, I just wanted you to see her and see how great she is, and I got to give him a hug, and we got to talk. So that's why I say I had the opportunity to work with, to be a classroom teacher and have those relationships with students. From there, I started to work on, it wasn't the culture and climate team, but it then morphed into that. And I got to get my hand into the world of working with students, doing discipline, trying to help students to make the best decisions for themselves. From there, I had the opportunity to be the director of culture and climate for a number of years. And now I'm the assistant head of school. I was also nominated twice for the IDEA Awards, and those awards that are put on by the Delaware Charter School Network. No wins, but it's nice to be nominated. And then I was also the teacher representative on the ADCO board. I also have spearheaded the development of a couple of different activities or groups in the school for students. I'm proud to say they're all still currently running. I started out with developing the National Junior Honor Society, and I was an advisor for a number of years. That was my first time being a leader of something, you know, figuring out what's the process. How are we going to induct students? How are we going to get those volunteer hours? How are we going to make sure that we stay on top of students, on top of managing what I needed to do in the classroom? From there, I went to Margie and Greg and I said, what about athletics? Shouldn't our kids have the opportunity to play sports? Sports were such a big part of my life. Why not? So they gave me the green light to go. And I started out as the initial athletic director for 3 years, I believe. And then during that time, I was also a coach. And then I kind of let someone else take the lead on being the athletic director. And I still coach Philky for a couple of years. And then the last program that I had a hand in was the AVID College Readiness Program. So AVID stands for Advancement Via Individual Determination. And it's just like the name says, it's a college readiness program. We focus on students who have potential. Potential looks different in every school and every building. But we identify those students that could be, they are maybe the potential first generation college student in their family, or they come from an underserved group or community. And we're just finding ways to build those skills in them and to build that determination so that they can realize whatever their post-secondary dream is, whether that's a two-year school, a four-year school, if they want to enter the military, or if they choose to enter the workforce, they have those abilities and those skills that when the time comes and they decide they may want to go to college, they're ready either way. And through that program, I was able to start out as one of the teachers of the AVID class. I then was the site coordinator, and now I serve as just kind of oversight, as the title is district director. And I just wanted to end with my family and my people. So I'm a proud wife to my husband, Mario, and I'm a proud mom to our two sons, Miles and Nathaniel. And we also have a fur baby named Tigger. Both of my children attend the ECDC, which is connected to our building, which makes life so much easier as a working parent. But the village and the people that I have around us, bolitas, grandmas, grandpas, they all help to make it work. And that's all I have to share. Thank you so much for your time and getting to know a little bit about me.
Excellent. I wanted to be sure, like, you know, I didn't know how much you were going to include in there, but I wanted to be sure you gave yourself credit about starting the National Junior Honor Society and our DIAA program and also AVID. But also, I will give you also the credit for helping to coordinate and start the whole Teacher of the Year and the Educational Support Person of the Year. I mean, Kathleen has done a great job of sort of taking ownership of that. For many years, charter schools didn't participate in the Teacher of the Year program because it was just sort of understood that charters were never going to win, that it was always going to be a district person. But we decided to open up that opportunity, and Kathleen said, it's a way to give people recognition. We should do it. But she manages that process and has done such a great job with it. But I also want to just share with the board that it was also important for us to have Kathleen come and introduce herself to all of you, because she is going to be moving into a new role. Kathleen, as the assistant head of school, she has started our culture and climate team and has been overseeing the culture and climate team all these years. She does a great job with that. And as we have grown, we have definitely realized that we need to continue to grow that team. And they specifically, as we've shared with you before in the monthly updates, they're not just dealing with discipline, they're taking proactive approaches to help students deal with their emotions and with their conflicts, and doing restorative practice and helping them learn some coping skills on how to deal with stress. So we want to continue to grow those programs and the impact of those programs. So Kathleen, after this school year, will actually transition into the Director of Culture and Climate. And we will now be, we're currently interviewing for an assistant head of school to fill her shoes, or backfill her, not really fill her shoes, but definitely take on the other pieces of her role. So we're really excited that she's going to be able to continue to do that work and be able to really focus on a piece that is just so critical. We know that behavior can get in the way of learning, but just disciplining behavior is not enough. It's not going to solve it. It's really getting to the root cause as to why the behavior is happening. And Kathleen's going to be really leading that effort. So very excited about that. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you, everyone, for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you for sharing about yourself, Kathleen, and what you do. I had to get off camera because I have a soft spot for these spotlights. And Margie knows that these mean so much to me and what you do. And I think so. I just wanted to see that that look, if I may. What look is it that you give the kids? Oh, is it the eyebrow? Is it the double eyebrow? I just wanted to get that on camera.
I don't know if it's double. Sometimes it's just, maybe it's the way I cut my eyes. I don't know.
I'm just trying to make you laugh.
I feel myself doing it, but I don't know if I can do it on command. I don't know.
No, listen. And Margie's right that, you know, culture and climate is about attention, right? And so, you know, thank you for dedicating that space and giving them the attention that they need and deserve, so they can be better and do better. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathleen, don't go. I got to give you a plug. You know that, right?
Yes.
So I just want everyone to know that I want to, you know, we share a lot of responsibilities, but I have the pleasure of starting my morning with Kathleen, welcoming buses, middle school buses, by the way, every morning. And the thing that is most impressive is I swear she knows every child by first name, and it blows me away. I don't know 10. And it just, I'm so jealous. But the thing that about Kathleen is she greets like every student by name and the respect that they give her. Look, let's face it, kids are not that happy. We're not that happy at 7 o'clock in the morning. But the way she starts her day, I just want to share that with everyone because I feel like, you know, as adults, you know, the students are why we're there, right? That's why we have a job. But I am a bit envious because she has such a great relationship. And obviously I'm kind of back office support, if you will, but she's an amazing lady. And I just love the respect that goes both ways. And I think that's important. So kudos to you, my friend.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Margie. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Well, thank you, Greg and Margie. She's definitely an asset. I didn't get to share this with her, but I liked her expression about getting into clean trouble. So the next item on the agenda we have is finance. So Greg will present the financial report. However, we will hold off on the vote until next meeting. Greg?
Yeah, we don't have a quorum now. So I this will allow me to save some time to everybody because as everyone knows, the financial report is updated each month. So I'll go ahead and do a quick synopsis on this one. But then obviously next month to vote on it, it won't do us any good. We're going to be voting on the most current, which will be the month of April. But feel free to ask any questions. I'm going to try to blow through this because, again, we can't vote on it, but we're doing great. We're 75% through the year. Instead of touching every category, give you an idea on our total revenue, new revenue, the budget's $23.6 million. You can see we're already over that, and we still have two more months to go. Actually, you'll see three more months because you'll see April. So April, May, and June. So we're $41,000 favorable. Obviously, we're going to have a good ending with our revenue. For expenses, due to end of March, the target would be at or less than 75%. You'll see, and I always give more detail, but the budget's $24.5 million. We're at about 18 or 74%. And as you can see over here, we have no variances, so nothing to report. We did spend $1.7 million in March. Take a quick look at our nice line graph, and you can see this nice wide gap between the blue line and red line. So we are definitely not spending more money than we have. The local funding update, which is the school district money, we've got 100% of that. And then we look at year to date, which includes the carryover from last year. You can see revenue, including this year's new revenue, $30.6 million. I already said our expenses were about $18 million. Just $3,000 in encumbered funds and a remaining balance of $12.6 million. So we're doing very well. The grants for FY23, an amazing team has brought in $400,000. And then quickly with the expenditure detail, as you can see, I always put any single line item that might be a variance. I put the comments on the right. But instead of hitting every category, I'm just going to go all the way down to the bottom. You can see it. Our budget's $24.46 million. You see the $3,000 in encumbered funds, which puts us right at $18 million for a year for spent. We're 74% of budget. Feel free to ask questions. But again, we can't really make a motion to vote on it. We can't approve it. And obviously, in April, in the month next month, you'll get the latest and greatest, which will be the month of April.
Thank you, Greg. Any questions for Greg? All right. Hearing none. Next item, I think, is still you, Greg, with the operations.
Yeah. So, you know what? I forgot. I wanted to show some photos. And I'll do that next month. But the construction is coming down to a close. I took the business office over yesterday, but it looks great on the inside. But the nice thing, I may have reported this last month, the exterior, the sod, just the landscaping is going in now. So both signs are in on the building. The whole, I'll just say, parcel looks so much better outside and inside. And the gymnasium, I noticed yesterday with the striping, they were putting the paint, the stripes down on the floor. And then I think they have one or two more coats of varnish, but it looks amazing. It is so exciting. And I hadn't seen the inside for like 3 weeks. So it was a great tour. I think selfishly, I wanted to go. So people are excited. It looks great. No issues. And I'm certain that we're going to, you know, get that CO. And I'm thinking by mid-June. But, you know, they promised all along by the end of June. So it's going very well.
Thank you, Greg. Any questions? All right. Marissa, development, do you have any updates?
Yes. So the development committee met. We actually met at the high school last week. It was great. As many of you know, I live quite far away, so it was my first opportunity to see the high school, and it was really cool. It was really nice. So just an update on the expansion campaign. We're in the final phase. We did receive a $10,000 donation from Chemours Philanthropy. For the Do More 24 campaign, we raised $2,455.50. And then for the friends and family portion of the expansion campaign, that kind of sort of fizzled out a little bit, didn't get off the ground running as they might have hoped. You know, I guess a lot of people had ideas, but then a difficulty implementing those ideas. But then there's the Aspira Golf Tournament fundraiser is coming up. I had sent an email after the last meeting about that. And, you know, to the extent that board members would like to assist with that, the best way to assist is there's a whole sponsorship. If you can get your employer or other businesses that you know in the area to sponsor a hole, like, you know, one of the holes is, I think it's like $200. So to the extent anybody's interested in that, I have a flyer and I can send that around. What's next? A number of grants have been submitted for a wellness center. And I touched on this a little bit in my update last month. We did hear back from Congresswoman Lisa Blount Rochester that we unlikely are going to be receiving grant specifically from her, but we're still awaiting a response from Senator Carper, Senator Coons, and the Newcastle County. Okay. Just in terms of communications, there's a weekly school newsletter that goes to K through 8 at the different ones, one for K through 8 and one for the high school. And there's the Trados translation app. And I believe I spoke about this at the last meeting, but just to give an update, that's in the past, I think we've been just sort of using sort of like part-time employees and stuff like that to assist with translating. But now we're going to implement this app, which is going to assist with that. And I think that I don't have it written here, but I think the cost is like a couple thousand dollars a year or something like that. And then in terms of upcoming events, so May is a team appreciation. Thank you to all of those that have already donated to, I'm going to send another email out, have already donated to the board sponsored lunch. We've already raised $525 towards the board sponsored lunch. And actually it's another, like a local business was going to assist, with the board sponsored lunch. So any additional amounts we raise will go towards the lunch, but then also, one thing we've done, we've always raised money for this lunch. And then whatever money was left was used for a breakfast, when the team returns in the fall. So to the extent you haven't already contributed and you would still like to contribute, I'm going to send the link around again after this meeting. And you know, it's you know, to support our team members and show that they are appreciated. And I guess there's Team Appreciation Week is the whole week. So, and they're getting little things. So Monday's gonna, our team is terrific, T-rific, T-E-A-rific. And then there's gonna be a tea cart and everyone's gonna get a cup of tea. Tuesday, we cannot wait, W-E-I-G-H-T, to express our appreciation. And there's a team appreciation gift that's gonna be given to every member of the team. Wednesday, showering you with this because our team is the bomb and everybody and every team member is going to get a bath bomb. Thursdays, we won't mask our gratitude and all the team members are going to get sleep masks. And Fridays, lunch is on us. So that's what the, you know, the board is going to be contributing to the lunches on us. And then in June is the golf tournament. And I had emailed about this last time. I had emailed about this last after the last meeting, and I'll send the flyer around again. So does anybody have any questions? I was so thorough in my presentation. So, but look for that email from me. And again, thank you to everybody who's already contributed to the lunch and anybody else who's able and willing to do so. I'll send the link around again. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. Rebecca, you're on for the diversity report. I think you're still muted.
All right. So for the Aspira update of all the great things that have been happening at the school because of spring break, Deanna Yancey Harris has combined April with May. And so in our May meeting, I will pass that along to you for 2 months of what the students have been up to. We continue to make moves on working toward a charter for our newish committee. And I know Pedro's doing some legwork, trying to figure out what Board on Track has to offer and other sources, with the idea that not only will we be able to develop a charter for our committee, for which Deanna has also provided tons of great information that we'll be able to plug into that. But potentially this can be a charter that can be used as a template for other committees as well as interested. Pedro had another great idea to develop other ways of finding ways for board members to connect with students and have conversations with students and just get to know some students. So we put out an email to Deanna to figure out what would work best. You know, would it be like a student for a day or for half a day kind of thing that a board member might be able to do, or just visiting a club meeting or a student group, or just having lunch in the cafeteria. So she's on her end talking to different people to see what might work best. If you are interested in doing something like this, let me know if you've got any particular ideas and or best times of day and best days. Thinking about potentially doing something before the end of the school year. And then I'll get back to you with whatever it is we come up with to see who's interested in participating from the board. And the last item is that we are super excited to discuss the book that we've chosen, Biased, over Zoom. That meeting's going to be on May 16th at 3:00. And I'll be sending an email with just some norms that, just because we'll only have an hour. And so we're thinking like to discuss a whole book in an hour is a tall order. So I'm going to try to get some of that stuff out of the way in an email. And also Pedro has found an interesting video that's like 10 minutes long. So if you're able to watch that as well about Biased, that would be, that will enrich our conversation. And we're going to encourage everybody to come with discussion questions, although we will have some discussion questions at the ready. And that is it. Are there any questions?
Okay. All right. Any questions? Hearing none. Thank you. I don't see Anne. Is someone else going to present the PTO report, or are we skipping it?
She sent it to us. Hold on. She did say that she wasn't able to make it tonight.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Let me see if I have it queued up. Okay. Yeah, there's two things she wanted to update. So PTO April meeting went well. Fund request was approved to fund the third grade teacher students and their efforts to raise money for Alex's lemonade stand. The students will use the $500 to make products that they will sell to raise funds for the organization. And it's part of their social studies economics unit. And then she also participated in a meeting with Kendall. It was regarding the proposed regulation from the Department of Education's Professional Standards Board about requiring charter school leaders to hold the charter school leader standard certificate. And there's currently 20 charter school leaders now who are not licensed or certified. And then she provided a link to that information. But I will follow up with all of you with more information about that. And that's it for her update.
Thank you. And you still have the floor, Margie.
Oh, okay, we're going to roll right into it. Let me go ahead and share. Okay. So we had the spotlight. Enrollment, just sort of keep that number in mind, is 1,497 is our 100% goal. It's really hard right now. Like, it's a moving target right now, because what happened is we did the first wave of invitations from the lottery. Those families had the opportunity to enroll their child by a certain date. That date was right before spring break. And so then based on those that did not accept the invitation, we're now doing the second wave of invitation. So I'll continue to update you on that. Culture and climate, the East Campus, Spring into Kindness was the theme. And I did upload this into Board on Tracks, which would be a good practice since we just had the training. But feel free to go through. I love when they include a lot of pictures, but just to give you an idea of the proactive approaches that the culture and climate team is taking to really make character and making kindness and compassion a big part of our culture. And in the West Campus, our school counselor is continuing to work with students on restorative circles, which is part of our restorative practice training that we introduced last year. And we're going to continue to get more of our team members trained on. She's also helping 11th graders with their college and career plans, helping our 10th and 11th graders with their grade level checklist. You know, it is a learning process for high school students to understand that they have to earn credits, right? They have to earn a certain number of credits in order to graduate. So this is the first time we go through this whole graduation process. So making sure that students understand how credits work and what happens when you don't pass a class and therefore you don't earn a credit, what that does then to the entire timeline in your 4 years of high school. So the other thing that our counselor does is works very closely with Dr. Panches and the head of school on the course scheduling. And also she oversees the administration of the PSATs and the SATs. In addition to that, she also does manage and support students with 504 plans. So she's very busy at this time, sort of making the changes, reviewing the plans with the teachers and the families. As far as the discipline reports, you'll see there, how we're trending with incidents, but also looking at, you know, my eyes always go immediately to the suspensions, because incidents can be a variety of different things. But looking at what exactly the things that get to the level of a suspension are the ones that I am most concerned about. So definitely I see a good trend, a positive trend in those areas. As I mentioned before, when Kathleen was talking, like, the culture and climate team plays such a critical role in managing this process. Obviously, the teachers are the first point of contact. They're the ones that have to create the environment in their classroom and the sense of community in their classroom. And for the most part, the teachers handle the behavior within their classroom. But when they have to refer it, you know, making sure that that is handled in a certain way so that it's not just slapping them on the hand, you know, giving them a consequence, but also helping them understand how to avoid that same behavior over and over. So that's really important. And the East Campus, so busy month with Green Week. And as you've seen in years past, you know, Green Week is a big event at the school. We love the fact that we have our outdoor learning environment, and we really take advantage of having that space for students to continue to explore the outdoors. So each day this week, they've had a certain theme and they've focused on certain things. So for example, today was Wellness Wednesday, and they were encouraged to go outside and enjoy yoga and play hopscotch and just continue to stay active and healthy. Tomorrow is Think Green Thursday, where we're going to be focusing on recycling, reducing, reusing. We also have an art show coming up on April 28th, where students will be able to display their great artwork. We have assessments. So the month of April, once we come back from spring break, a lot of assessments are being completed. The Smarter Balance assessments will continue through the second week of May. Eighth grade scholars. So this is something that is a change. If you guys recall, when we first opened the high school, we started the scholars program, which is an opportunity for accelerated learners in eighth grade to actually attend school at the high school and take math and science courses at the high school. We've done that for the past 3 years, and it has been successful. But the one thing we heard from our students and our families is, my student would love to be part of the scholars program, but they really don't want to leave their classmates. They would like, if given the option of staying in the East Campus and staying with their classmates versus going to the high school to be part of the scholars program, many of them were choosing to stay with their classmates. So we actually, now that we have the West Campus being fully completed, renovated, next year, we're actually moving the scholars program back to the East Campus. And because of that, we had actually 46 students invited to be part of the program. So we're now at the point of selecting the class of students that will be accepted into the scholars program. So it's pretty cool to see that we have, you know, 46 students that basically qualify to be part of the scholars program. We are limited, though, to only having one class of them because of staffing, because they are still going to be taking the math and science high school course, and therefore we have to limit the number. But it is exciting to see how many students we have that do meet those qualifications, which is pretty stringent. Like, you know, we want to see consistent academic success, showing that the student has the discipline, the level of responsibility and self-motivation to do well academically. So. And now that we're getting into May, we have the end of year events going on. We do a moving up to middle school event for our fifth graders. And we have graduation for eighth graders, and we have the field days. At the West Campus, they have been hosting their family orientation meetings, welcoming our new students and families for next year. They've been working on the course offerings, and excited to see that we're able to continue to add to our courses. So there's going to be 6 advanced placement courses and 5 dual enrollment courses. So as we evolve and grow, our course offerings continues to grow as well, which is exciting for students. They have 3rd marking period awards happening at the end of this month, at the end of this week. And then, we also had a pep rally to congratulate and celebrate the spring sports. And part of that in the pep rally was some competitive sports. So you can see here, flag football, tug of war pictures. The other thing that's really exciting about the West Campus is that they had a bunch of field trips. So I just want to highlight those. So we had the biology students went to Lum's Pond. We had the Spanish students go to Olé Tapas and learn about flamingo dancing. We had our K-12 Teacher Academy students go to the University of Delaware Learning Lab. We had students compete in the EntreX competition, which is a course that we introduced this year in partnership with the University of Delaware about entrepreneurship. And it's the first year we have it, and we actually qualified to compete in the competition. So that was really exciting. Our Chinese class traveled to Chinatown in Philadelphia to experience the culture. Our international club traveled to New York City. We had 18 students and 12 adults actually go on our first ever spring break excursion to Costa Rica. And that was really exciting. I mean, when we first saw that opportunity come up 2 years ago, like, I can't believe 2 years have passed by so quickly. I thought it was a big goal to put in front of us, but they made it happen. They've been fundraising for the past 2 years. The fact that we had 18 students be able to be part of that experience, they were texting me, sending me pictures. These are some of the pictures that we got. They got to tour a factory where ox parts are made. They got to eat in 5-star restaurants. They got to look at the farming in Costa Rica. They got to see a volcano. Just beautiful pictures. So happy for them. And then athletics, spring season. So there's baseball, softball, and girls soccer, as well as track and field and boys volleyball going on at the high school, at the middle school, similar sports, baseball, softball, girls soccer, boys volleyball, which is exciting. And then in the performing arts, they're getting ready for their spring concerts, as well as the music in the parks, which is going to be in Hershey Park this year. And they also are working at end of year projects, which is pretty cool. And that is my report. Any questions, comments?
I think we have a question from Robert.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi. Yes. Hi, Margie.
Hey.
Awesome summary. I appreciate you sharing. I did have a question about the discipline report. I didn't want to stop you because you were rolling.
Sure.
And
sorry.
The flow. But I noticed in March, mm-hmm. there seemed to be a little higher in March for detentions and school suspensions and out of school suspensions. Is there any particular reason? Was there anything identified for March?
That's a great observation, Rob. So March is a very tricky month in education. If you look at the calendar, it's this period of time, like kids come back from winter break, beginning of January. And from that time until spring break, March basically falls like right in the middle of that, right? And so it tends to be a month where there's no holidays. There's really very little time off. So I think they have maybe one day off that whole month. So the thing that you have to factor in is the number of school days in March tends to be higher than other months, right? But it also then behavior becomes a bigger issue in the month of March because the kids get restless and they're looking forward to their spring break. It's getting towards the tail end of the school year. They're looking forward to the next year. They're getting impatient, spring starts to pop up. We got no snow days, there's so many different things that factor into that. But I would say that one of the biggest ones is that when we look at the month of March, we're trying to be more sensitive to having certain breaks. I think it's important, not just for the students, but also for the team, for the teachers, that when you go 7 consecutive weeks of full 5-day weeks with no break, it definitely, you can see that starting to, you see that reflecting in the behavior. You see conflicts coming up. Like, I think it's natural for us to have these certain breaks that allows people to sort of cool down, sort of have some time away, and then they sort of come back sort of missing each other and then, be able to go from there. But what I have here is just this year's snapshot, Rob. What I can share with you is previous years as well, because we do keep every one of those charts. I think pretty consistently, if you look at every March, every single year that we've been tracking discipline, you'll see a similar spike.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Margie. Any other questions? All right. Hearing none, I think this is it. I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
So moved, Pedro. Oh, I'll second then.
I second.
All right. So I think we got the motion from Rebecca with the second from Pedro. Does it work for everyone? All right. Thank you, everyone. No vote needed. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anas. Thank you, team. Right. Thank you, Margie. Oh, wait. Happy birthday. So wait, are we still recorded?
It's okay.
Is your husband still in the room?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay, well, I'm going to sing you happy birthday. Feliz, feliz en tu día. Margisita, que Dios te bendiga, que reine la paz en tu día, y que cumplas muchos más.
Ay, qué bueno, me encanta. Thank you, Pedro. I love the Spanish version.
Happy birthday. You deserve
Thank
it.
Thank you. All right.
Happy Good birthday, night. Margie.
Thank you.
Happy Bye-bye. Birthday.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.